Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series that we've been doing on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher today. We pray you'd bless the listener. Bless the saint of God. Help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for the lost soul that may be listening, that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. I pray this would be the very day from a heart of faith. They'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in their heart that it's only his shed blood that can save them and pay for all their sins, past, present, and future. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We ask you to have your will and your way in our study today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Today we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, faith. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 in verses 22 to 23. Let's read those two verses together. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so far we've looked at the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long-suffering, the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of goodness, and today we're going to look at fruit number 7, faith. What is faith? That is the faith mentioned here as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Once again, we come to picture a word in the Bible, especially as it is used here. This particular word for faith is used more than 240 times throughout the New Testament. In most cases, it means basically the same thing. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, however, it takes on a difference. Let's see the difference. First of all, the Word of God is the source of faith. The Word of God is the source of faith. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. And in Romans chapter 10, let us look together at verse number 17. Romans 10, verse 17, the words of God say this: So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now faith is not produced in trials. There it is proven. It's like a kiln. A kiln will not cause problems in a piece of clay pottery, but it may reveal them. Heat in an engine doesn't cause too many problems, but it may reveal weakness. You see, faith is not produced by self-hypnosis or even positive thinking. You can talk yourself into anything, But that is not faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 makes it clear that faith is a product of the Word of God. Your relationship with the Bible directly affects your faith. You see, faith is not repeating something to yourself so many times that it becomes part of you. It's not positive reinforcement, nor is it visualizing a desire. Very important to see then. Your relationship with the Bible directly affects your faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the second thing. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith. Now, that is a faithfulness to God in His Word. Here is that subtle difference that is found in other scriptures. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. The words of God say this in Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. See that? Faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. See what Jesus is saying here to this crowd here, to these Pharisees and scribes. They tithe, amen, but they really, and they should have done it, but they really omitted the real important things, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. They left them out. They left faith out. They were just going through the motions, amen. See, they weren't really faithful to God and His Word. If they were, they wouldn't have left out judgment, mercy, and faith, which were the more important things. Let's turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 3 with me, in verse number 3. In Romans 3, verse 3, we read this. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And of course the answer is no. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. See? Just because someone does not believe, that doesn't make the belief, their unbelief does not make the faith of God without effect. See, this faith we're talking about is faithfulness to God and His Word. Amen. In Titus chapter 2, verse 10, we read this, not purloining. The word purloining means to steal, often in violation of trust. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. See? The faith. Example, faithfulness, fidelity. The trustworthiness mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, faith, is something that only the Holy Spirit can produce. See? So then the faith produced by the Holy Spirit is not a strong belief for you to hold on to, but a fidelity that shows to others that you are trustworthy and faithful. See? It's not a strong belief that you hold on to. It's much more than that. It's a fidelity. It shows that you are trustworthy and faithful. The Word of God produces faith that causes you to trust God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit produces fidelity, so that God in others can trust you. See? It's one thing to believe something, but it's another thing to be faithful to what you believe. Amen? That you trust God, that God can trust you. Amen. Because you believe what God says, because you have faith in what God says, you act upon it. Amen. But the interesting and the third thing we want to see is, by nature, we are without this fidelity. We're unfaithful. Amen. Turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms 58 with me. And notice what it says in Psalm 58 verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. See? We are born unfaithful to the truth. The Word of God says the wicked are estranged from the womb. As soon as we're born, we go astray. See? And speak lies. We can't be trusted. That's our nature that we are born with. Amen. That Adamic nature that you and I are born with. You see, it's our nature. And according to the verses in Galatians, specifically Galatians 5, verse 17, are contrary to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 17 together and see what the words of God say. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. See? They're contrary one to another. They're at our opposite ends. See, that flesh, when we get saved, when we're born again, that flesh, amen, nothing happens to it. It remains sinful, it remains vile, it remains wicked. But there's a difference. Your spirit is born again, amen, your soul is saved. Before you were saved, before you were born again, you came completely controlled by that unsaved flesh. But now that you have an indwelling Holy Spirit, you can have the victory. You can have the victory over the flesh. You can produce the nine fruit of the Spirit only if, on a daily basis, you are yielded to that holy indwelling Holy Spirit as a believer and allow it to have complete control over your life. Amen. See? You and I, according to the Word of God, we've just seen, we are too selfish to be trustworthy on our own. We can't be. Our flesh cannot produce faith. It cannot produce fidelity, trustworthiness. Only the indwelling Holy Spirit, as we yield to it on a daily basis, come under its control, can we be trustworthy. Amen. Because our natures we're born with, we go astray immediately, we speak lies. We can't be trusted. The fourth thing we want to see is trustworthiness begins with God. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. We read this. God is faithful. There it is. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the faithful God. A God you can trust. He's the one that's called us into the fellowship with his Son. Amen? Trustworthiness begins and ends with Almighty God. And in the meantime, we are to be trustworthy in his stead. Amen? Looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is telling us, temptation's going to come. There's nothing new under the sun. Other people have been tempted with the same things that you and I are tempted with. But, despite the temptation, notice what it says, God is faithful, trustworthy. We can trust him. He is faithful. Amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He will not allow you to be tempted above something, amen, above that ye are able. He will not allow it. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The Word of God tells us there's going to come temptation. It's nothing new. The same temptation has been tempting mankind since the beginning of man. Amen? There's nothing new. Devil hasn't come up with something new that he hasn't used on somebody already. But despite the temptation, it's going to come. Despite that, God is faithful. He's not going to allow you, amen, he will not suffer, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He's not going to allow you to be tempted without something you can deal with. Not only that, he's going to provide the way to escape that temptation. He's going to provide, he's going to show you the way. You can trust him. He's faithful, amen. See, God is true to his word. If God said it, you can trust it. Amen. What most of what man says today, you can't trust it. But if God says it, you can trust it. Amen. As they say, you can bet the farm on it. Look at in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If, here's a condition, if we confess our sins, amen, we're promised this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See? We see God's faithfulness. You can trust Him. If we come to Him, we confess His sins, we can trust Him to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God is faithful and just. He's faithful to His Word and just to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So far we've seen in this study on the fruit, faith, we saw that the Word of God is a source of faith, number one. Number two, we saw the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith, that is a faithfulness to God and His Word. Number three, we saw by nature we are without this fidelity. Number four, we saw that trustworthiness begins with God. Now, the last thing we want to see now, amen, is God wants you and He wants me to be trustworthy too. Now, this is a fruit that only the Holy Spirit can produce. We've seen that. This is not something that you can do on your own. You cannot produce it on your own. In this faith should be seen by whom? Well, first of all, by the Lord. See? By the Lord. This faith should be seen. He wants to see this faith. He wants to trust in you and me. You know, sometimes people can't understand why they're not doing anything for the Lord. Well, have you lived in such a way that He can trust you with something to do? Have you shown that? Have you been yielded to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and allowed Him to have complete control so you can produce His faith? So God can trust you? Amen? Notice in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. With me. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, we read in the Word of God, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So He's speaking a parable here. Verse 2, "Saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regardeth man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the just judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" See? Will He find faith when He comes? We have the parable of this woman who kept after. Amen. Who kept after this judge to avenge her. And the judge knew that she would continue to hound him unless he did. And he knew this. And he gave her what she wanted. And the Lord is saying that we need to have faith. Amen. That we need to continue to go to Him in prayer and cry out to Him on a daily basis and have faith that He will hear. Amen. And avenge us. But also, not only should our faith be seen by the Lord, but also by others. We read in Titus chapter 2 before, and let's go back to Titus 2. in verse 10. Titus chapter 2, in verse number 10, it says, not purloining. And we said that word purloining means to steal, often in violation of trust. So we're not to be untrustworthy, in other words. And it goes on and it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, but instead of that, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. We're to show our faithfulness. Amen. We're to act in such a way that others can trust us. Amen. Amen. By showing all good fidelity. Showing trustworthiness. That others can trust us. And if they can trust us, we see the effect, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God, our Savior, in all things. They see you faithful to the things of God. Amen. And they'll follow suit. It'll affect them. That they'll adorn themselves. Cover themselves. In the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Will have an effect on others. See? When we're faithful, when we're trustworthy, and God sees that, then He's going to give us something for us to do for Him. Because He knows the job will get done. Because He's seen you've been faithful in the little things, He'll know you'll be faithful in the big things. And then we see that others should see that faithful, that we have faith, that we're trustworthy. Amen. It'll affect them. Amen. To want to be faithful to the things of God as well. That they'll adorn ourselves. This adorning is the adorning of the gospel. You see, a Christian of trust speaks positively for the gospel. See, if you're untrustworthy and you go about trying to preach the gospel, people are going to they're not going to believe you. Because you haven't been trustworthy in other things. See? So, believe it or not, as we conclude, not all of us were born with unfaithfulness inside of us. All of us were born with unfaithfulness inside of us. That was our nature, our fallen nature, that was inherited from Adam. Amen? But if you and I are going to be trustworthy in our lives, if we're going to have to let the Holy Spirit produce this fruit. Amen? And again, as I said time and time again, the only way the fruit of the Spirit can be produced in the believer's life is if that believer is yielded on a daily basis to the indwelling Holy Spirit and allows that indwelling Holy Spirit to have complete control of their lives. Well, that concludes our study today on the fruit of faith, the seventh fruit of the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Until that time, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.